And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So let me start by saying there's more than a little irony in this particular epiphany. You'll remember the point of these weeks between Christmas and Lent is for us to see and to appreciate how God revealed Jesus to be the promised Lord and Messiah. And here in Capernaum, as he taught in their synagogue, the people got the revelation. They saw and heard that Jesus was different from the others. He taught with authority. Unclean spirits obeyed him. They got it, and they asked exactly the wrong question. It should not have been, "What is this?" As if it was the teaching itself that had the power and the authority. No, they should have asked, "Who is this? Who is this man who teaches like this? Who commands the demons?" They got the epiphany, they just missed its meaning. And even more sadly ironic, the demon itself got what the people had missed. "I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God." That unclean spirit learned the full truth of that statement when Jesus said to it, "Be silent," or more literally, "Be muzzled." For at that command, the demon had to obey, like the wind and the sea obey whenever God speaks. And when you get that they all have to obey when God speaks, you discover what remarkable creatures we are. For God also speaks to us, and yet has left us able to not obey. More than a few teachers in the church have remarked over the centuries that our freedom to disobey is really bondage, and that being bound to obey God is true freedom. But let's look at this moment in Capernaum a little bit more closely to see what it gives us. So Jesus came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and was recognized as a teacher, likely his dress and that he had the disciples with him, tipped the people off. And the leader of the synagogue would have invited him to say something out of a common courtesy. And so Jesus was invited to teach, and he did. He taught with authority. And that word authority is the big deal here. It's exousia in the Greek, which means something like having the power to make a word be what it says. A pale example of this would be found in a military commander's authority. If she or he says, "March," the troops march. The word makes them do what it says because of the speaker's authority. So the people sensed that Jesus' word was different from the scribes and the Pharisees. Luther liked to say that all the rabbis could do was teach about the word, but that Jesus' word was living and powerful. It had arms and legs to it. And in a sense, that was as it should be. I mean, for instance, right, if I can't point to Scripture to show that the words I speak are grounded there, then I need to stop talking. The rabbis of Jesus' day, they cited the scriptures and they cited other rabbis, but they got it all wrong. They were so mired in the law as the way to try and establish their righteousness with God that when they taught, they ended up getting lost in questions like, you know, how exactly do you tie the tenth of your herb garden? Or how far up the arm do you have to watch to make sure that your hands are not ritually defiled when you eat? Or exactly when does the Sabbath start, and when does it end? But Jesus' teaching was nothing like that. He spoke the word from himself, not worried about whether or not he could cite the rabbis. He spoke the word as if he were the word himself. And to get a feel for how he taught, just think of what you can remember from the Sermon on the Mount, right? "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You are the light of the world. You have heard it said, you shall not murder, but I say to you, you shall not even hate your brother or call him a fool. You have heard it said that you shall not swear by God or by his temple or by this world, but I say to you, let your yes be yes and your no be no, for anything more comes from the devil. And that little phrase, "I say to you," set against what had previously been written in God's word, means that Jesus was putting his words at the same level as God's word. He was claiming divine authority, divine power for himself, and that's what made his words live. Here's some more, right? "Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Father knows what you need. Ask, and it will be given. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Jesus' word was with authority, power, because he was and is the author of all things, God in the flesh. And therefore, he gives us the life that he proclaims. In Christ, by his word, in his authority, you and I are called and made to be light in this world, because by his word, Jesus gives us his life. And as the people of that synagogue wondered at Jesus' word and authority, the demon despaired. With the advent of Christ, the demon knew that his time was coming to an end, for Jesus brought the reign and kingdom of God to earth, and where God reigns, there he begins to restore, there he begins to redeem. Where God's word and reign are, death and hell and corruption must give way and let go. That demon had to quell before the power and strength of the Holy One of God, even if at that point Jesus was clothed in humility, even if the people were not moved to recognize him and who exactly was in their midst. So the question then is, what does all of this mean for us? Well, it's simple. Jesus still speaks to us with authority. Will we acknowledge it? Will we believe it? Will we trust it? Will we be moved to say, "Yes, Lord, your word, because it is yours. Your word is true. Your word is right. Your word is good." For by his word, Jesus still puts evil to flight. And by his word, he calls us to let go of that old life that we hang on to so energetically. He calls us to see the old life for what it is. A confused mass of selfish desires and half-hearted loves and lust and envy and pride and anger and jealousy. It is the way of death. He calls us to see that and to turn. For his authority is not for himself. He doesn't command or wield power to satisfy himself. His authority, his power is for those who are in need of deliverance, who need help, who need life. It is for us. His authority is finally the authority of grace for sinners, of the grace that frees them to live new lives. And his power is the power to restore and to forgive and to heal and to make whole. So receive his word, my friends. Receive him and know him for who he is, the Holy One of God, come to give you life by the sacrifice of his body and his blood. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.